I was talking to a sister the other day who is considering bringing her daughter home to homeschool. And she was talking about making that transition and, you know, just trying to figure out what would be the best options for their family. And of course, she approached me. We talk a lot about our favorite curriculum and how much we love it. And so she was curious. And I recommended that she register for the BJU Press Homeschool National Online Party happening April 15th through the 19th, because I thought it would be instructive for her. I thought it might answer several of her questions. There'll be speakers. Ken Ham will be speaking as a part of this online party. And of course, the homeschool consultant from all across the country will be answering questions. There's so many questions when you start to make transitions away from the things you've always done into the things that you would like to do. And so I want to encourage even you listening. Maybe this is a decision that you've been praying about and you want to get some answers to some questions you've had for a while. Why don't you check out our friends at BJU Press Homeschool? You can go to homeschoolhelp.com/party. That's homeschoolhelp.com/party and register for this online party. There are free giveaways and prizes, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun and super informative for people who are praying about the ways that they are going to disciple and educate their kids. Check it out. You have until April 15th to register, but I don't think you're going to want to miss this. homeschoolhelp.com/party. Thanks for listening to Culture Proof. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And it's time for the Friday News Haul. I think that it's safe for us to start with probably the biggest news of the week, and that is the death of O.J. Simpson. I'm kind of conflicted about, you know, that being the biggest news of the week. Like, I understand it because, you know, clearly he was a big deal. Like, he was a celebrity in our culture. But, you know, and I know, look, and I know we have to be careful how we talk about things, especially because he was acquitted of the murder of his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. But, I mean, like, he authored a book, or allegedly, you know, contributed to a book that was supposed to be his book that was like a confession of, like, if he murdered them, this is how it happened. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. But that happened on Wednesday. It was announced by the family yesterday on Thursday. And so I don't know. Like, how do you talk? How do you talk about the death of O.J. Simpson? I mean, I guess you just talk about the facts, right?
Yeah.
So his ex-wife and Ron Goldman, who I think was her boyfriend. Is that right? Or was he returning glasses? He was going there to bring something she left at a restaurant. I don't remember. I was far too young to know all of the details, but I was, along with everyone else in my age group, paying attention to the incessant coverage. This was the first time that we had ever seen anything like this in our country. I mean, so, you know, you got the 1994 murder. It goes to trial in 1995. And you've got, like, there are just so many things now that we look back on it and they've become staples in our culture, but it started there. So you've got the Dream Team. Mm-hmm. Remember his attorneys and
Cochran. And,
yeah. Kardashian. Like, I mean, just crazy. And then you've got, you know, you've got catchphrases that come out of it. You've got the Blanco Bronco, right? Remember the low speed chase?
Yeah.
You've got, if the gloves don't fit,
you must have quit.
I hate that this is a part of our life.
Yeah.
But that trial in 1995, where ultimately he was acquitted, became sort of like a, I don't know, like a, it became a racial trial. Yes. And then all of a sudden, you know, he allegedly murders his wife, or he's accused of murdering his wife and Ron Goldman. And all of a sudden it becomes an issue of, you know.
Yeah.
Like a culture, like a black and white culture war is what it becomes.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, the coverage.
Oh my goodness.
Of this white Bronco just.
And, insane.
And, I mean, and the camera just stayed. I mean, the television station just stayed like on that. You want, everybody was glued to it, trying to see what was going to happen. You know, but O.J. Simpson was a big deal. You know, thinking back to his football days, he was one of the great running backs. You know, he had a great career, college and professional. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and I remember him. I forgot the name of the, but he had a commercial where he would run through the airport.
Hertz.
Yeah.
The rental car company.
He was like a, mm-hmm. he was a big deal. So this was a shocker. When these things happened, it was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. You know, he became an actor.
The juice. That's what they called him. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. The juice is loose, you know.
which those jokes still, they stuck around, you know, in that low speed chase. Anyway. Yeah. Yes. I don't know. I think it's sad though, because when you look back on that, and I was in high school, early in high school, because it was in 1994.
So, it's 94.
So I think I was probably like a freshman in high school.
So that was 94.
Yeah, you had graduated.
Yeah, because I remember
being. Went to trial in 95.
Okay, because I remember being like, so I was a freshman in college.
Yeah. And I was a freshman in high school.
So.
Wow. Which just
I'm not old.
How young and fresh I still am.
Whatever.
But I remember, here's the crazy thing that I remember about it. I remember the TV on in our school's office, right? And I remember like our administrators, like the secretaries, like I just remember in my high school, you know, going into the office and it was on every day, like it was on all throughout the trial. I remember, you know, the big discussions about Marsha Clark, who I think was the prosecutor. You know, she had the curly hair, and then all of a sudden, at one point, she got a new haircut and straightened the hair, and that was a discussion. It just, it was amazing how that, which was real, like we're really talking about the murder, the brutal murder of two individuals, but it became a movie. You know, it just, I don't know, that may have pointed to sort of the decline, I think, that was present in our country.
Well, the coverage of it. Definitely, you know, that's something that still happens today. I think coverage of things.
Yeah, like that gave birth
wall
to it.
Wall,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But it seemed like it had this feel of like, you know, black people rooting for, you know, like.
Which I think is really sad. Yeah, because man. Now, just based on what I know, of course, I was not a juror, but I have watched at least one documentary post, you know, and what I do know is at least a couple of the jurors that they interviewed for this documentary that I watched years ago, they said that they, you know, they voted to acquit him because he was black. Right. Like they said, they just, no, we just, you know, because you got to talk about, or you got to think about the conversations that were being had. You're on the other side of Rodney King. You're in Los Angeles. Like it is just, so you know what I mean? Yeah, and so that became, they said, and in fact, in this one documentary that I remember watching, they said this was their revenge for like, you know, the Rodney King beating. This was their, you know, and I remember thinking, man, but like, what about justice?
Right.
Like, what about like, you know, isn't it scary to think that you've got a cold-blooded murderer? Or if you thought as a juror that you've got a cold-blooded murderer just walking around, you know, isn't that a little bit frightening?
Yeah.
But apparently not.
No, you know? I mean, it was a period in time in this country where like, yeah, the racial thing was at a high tense area, you know? So it's when I remember, you know, that time, I don't think I fell on either side. I was just kind of in awe of what was happening.
Yes, I feel the same way.
So I wasn't like, yeah, he's black. So, but I wasn't, you know, also I wasn't rooting for him. Yeah. I wasn't rooting against him, but I was just like, this is amazing. Like, you know, and how they showed it. I remember that. And then I remember, man, which one was it? It was one of the wars they showed on TV. Like one of, I don't know if it was the Gulf War. It was one of where they showed like the things happening.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, man, you know, we were able to watch, you know, the troops on the ground and doing. And so it was amazing. And I think that was the turn of a lot of things as far as the news cycle and being able to like see what's happening and the cameras will stay on, you know, because it wasn't like that all the time.
No, exactly. You know, right.
That was kind of a new thing.
It's interesting. You know, I don't remember. I'm kind of similar to you in this. I don't remember actually having an opinion about what was going on with the O.J. Simpson trial, mm-hmm. because I don't think that I was mature enough. Like, I don't think I knew how to pay attention to information, mm-hmm. you know, how to think through what was being presented. And I think, you know, our culture did a really good job of just kind of grabbing sound bites and taking things that would be like quips. And then that would kind of characterize the case. You know, for example, you know, the glove not fitting, mm-hmm. and then the struggling and all of that.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, not allowing it to be well circulated, that you had this footprint that matched his footprint at the scene of the crime. Like, I mean, I just feel like, so what I remember is that when I was older and started to learn more of the details, you know, the documentaries and all of that, I personally thought that he was guilty of murdering his wife and Ron Goldman. I, you know, now here's something that I did not understand. And this may be because I don't understand how the law works as it pertains to this. But there was a civil lawsuit that was brought against O.J. Simpson by Ron Goldman's family in 1997. And they actually won the lawsuit. And they were granted a $33 million settlement in this civil suit. He was sued for wrongful death. So I should have looked that up to see like what that means. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't understand how he can be sued for wrongful death, but acquitted of murder.
I don't understand.
And anyway, I was reading an article that said that the family is still pursuing O.J. Simpson, even in his death, that the $33 million settlement will be paid. I think because of like interest and all of that, it's like at $114 million.
Wow.
And the family to date has received $133,000 of that money.
Wow.
So according to the Goldman family attorney, they are going to pursue all of their options. And so they said, I was reading an article that said, we don't know what he has, we don't know what he had, but if there are, you know, any resources, they will go to the Goldman family, which I think, you know, it's just terrible.
It's sad, really, you know, when you think of how, you know, this all ended and stuff like that, because he was constantly, like, he would pop up in the news for different things, and it wasn't good. It's like,
he was sentenced to, oh my goodness, what was it, like 9 years, because he tried to steal back what he said was some of his memorabilia in Las Vegas. So he was sentenced, I can't remember the length of time, but, or maybe he served 9 years of a longer sentence, maybe like a 13-year sentence.
Yeah.
And then he was released and then, you know, started getting active in social media, talking, commenting on sports and all of that. But he died on Wednesday of cancer at 76. And again, you know, when I read stories like this, I'm not trying to be, you know, overly deep, but I do think about what people's legacies are. Like, you know, you say he was a great running back.
Yeah,
what is it? I just want to make sure I get the position right. Yeah. I don't know sports. So he was a great running back. But I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, and you tell me if I am. I feel like people have to dig to remember that. I feel like he is O.J. Simpson. And he is connected to the murders of two people. We believe there's hope for our young people. And that's why we are spending a week at the North Carolina Refuge at the Culture Proof Camp, July 21st through the 26th.
That's right. A week, right? Because I know there was talks about like, man, we need this.
I have not heard that from Sammy.
Am I dreaming about that? We never talked about
it. That was not confirmed.
Okay. So it was
that
a week.
That was not confirmed. It'll be 1 week.
Yes.
I feel like Sammy's listening and he's going, oh, y'all wanted 2 weeks? No.
We're good, Brother Sammy.
Sammy, you and Desta, God bless the team there at the North Carolina Refuge, because they have grown like a resistance to the heat. And I don't know that it affects them the way that it affects the newbies.
You know, the newbies. You know, but you have a great time. Like, it's always been a great time, man. The atmosphere is awesome.
It's amazing.
The times of worship.
Yeah.
It's just a great time of equipping. And so this is the Culture Proof Camp. And so it's going to be, man, just be ready.
Yeah.
Just be ready.
Culture Proof Camp 2024 is going to be all about biblical worldview. It's going to be walking through all of the indications or all of the indicators that you have a biblical worldview, challenging these young people. And again, when I say young people, this is 8th to 12th grade on what they say they believe. And so if you're interested, you can learn more by going to cultureproof.net, click on engage, and you'll see all of the events that we're participating in this year. And just scroll down. Culture Proof Camp 2024 is near the bottom of the list because it's happening in July.
Mm-hmm. It's going to feel good in July.
I think July is like the Greek goddess of heat. I'm just kidding. I don't know Greek mythology. Cultureproof.net. Learn about where we're headed. We
Shout
would
out
love to
the Mayflies.
Can you imagine? I just got a picture of the Mayflies turning around because like you called their name. It's like, oh, okay, what's up? Like, okay, yeah. Anyway, cultureproof.net.
Yeah, and I think that definitely overshadowed, you know, what he did in college and in the professional sports. But that up until that point, like, that's what he was known for.
Yeah.
You know, O.J. Simpson, like, one of the great running backs. I think he won the Heisman Trophy.
He did.
Yeah, you know, so the Hertz commercial, like, you know. It's,
yeah, well. I mean.
So he was like this, you know, like, man, OJ, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. No, there was too much. Now, again, this is looking back on this, okay? Yeah. Because, you know, 14, 15 years old, 13, 14, whatever, however old I was at that point, I was not old enough to process what was going on. I do remember the pictures that they would show of Nicole Brown Simpson having been beaten by him and the images of her face. And I think that was another piece of this that did not get enough discussion. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know. I just think our culture is a little bit jaded when it comes to entertainment. And the things that stand out to us that grab our attention are just the things that are sensational. We don't, you know, and that was in the 90s. So look at where we are now. You know, these, you know, I don't know. I think it was the guy who does TMZ, but I feel like he started, you know, kind of learning the ropes during the O.J. Simpson trial. Mm-hmm. I remember a while back learning that Greta Van Susteren kind of started covering things during the O.J. Simpson trial.
So,
and I think
that
even Fox
some
News.
People
it really did.
Started some people's career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Covering like things around the clock news coverage, you know. So anyway, I think, look, the passing of anybody is sobering.
Yes.
Because that's it.
Yep.
It's appointed for man to die once and after that to face the judgment.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So here's the thing. Oh my goodness. Mm. There is like, there's no dream team. You know what I mean? That's going to get you out of what you deserve, what you have earned. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Mm. The wages is what you earn, right? So there's no dream team that's going to get you out of that. You know, we have to stand before the Lord, each one of us. And so I think that is very sobering,
but
nonetheless, you can't do a Friday news haul and not talk about the death of O.J. Simpson. It was such a big deal in our culture.
It was huge.
You know, and when I think about it, you know, if we start trying to talk to our kids about this, they have no point of reference for that. You know?
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like almost we were kind of on the tail end of his luster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know? I mean, his days of playing football and all that was, I don't remember him playing.
Right,
like,
so right.
I wasn't, you know, but I knew who. Everybody knew who he was, you know.
Yeah, stats and legend and all of that. Yeah. Let's stay in California. Here's another article that I thought, well, of course, and it made me sad because this is what people say when we start talking about minimum wage and, you know, things like the fight for 15 and raising minimum wage and all of that stuff. And so this article is out of California, which, you know, last week, California raised their minimum wage to $20 an hour.
Saw that.
That like
is insane.
I don't minimum I don't wage. Understand that.
How like, can that state even survive doing that? Like how are they able to do that?
Not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but I just don't think they want to. Like, I think they want to bring it to its knees.
That will bring it to its knees. Because it's like, if you're paying that,
why so many people are leaving.
Right. I don't see how they could survive. And I don't know how long that's going
to
last.
Yeah. Well, not long. According to articles like this one, this is from Fox News. It says another California small business and its workers have seemingly suffered at the hands of the state's newly enacted $20 minimum wage. Quote, it's a shock, said Monica Navarro, former assistant general manager at Foster's Freeze in Lemoore. She reported that their business shut down, mm-hmm. where she was an employee, without notice, notice. Quote, it would have been nice to have a notice so we could go get some applications out. I could prepare, you know. She said, the best I can do is honestly give them some references. So the business is shut down. And according to this woman, the business shut down because of the $20 an hour minimum wage. They can't do it. Like, think about that. So you got a minimum wage of $20 an hour.
Wow. Wow. $20 an hour.
Now,
minimum wage.
Listen, and I want people to understand there is something that is really, beautiful and fruitful about entry-level work. Mm-hmm. When you think about what you gain, you think about what you learn, you think about the training, you think about why you're there and how we have, you know, what seems to be like an organic shuffling of people. Mm-hmm. And so if you are responsible, right, mm-hmm. and you incentivize hard work, then you constantly have a flow of people who are starting here at this point, working mm-hmm. their way up, mm-hmm. or maybe this is where you are while you're in school. And mm-hmm. and so this is sort of like a placeholder job for you. No one is expecting that this is where you're going to stay. In fact, when I was growing up and when you were growing up as well, you know, those were the things that were like, okay, do you want to do this for the rest of your life? Right.
Right.
Like, do you want to work at an entry level?
It was temporary.
It was
like entry level. And so it was one of those things where, no, I'm not going to be here forever. This is something I need some work, you know, and I'm thinking minimum wage. It was like, what, $7, $6, like 20.
They have flown well past the fight for 15.
Yes.
Which was already problematic.
Right,
like,
15.
Listen, okay, so, oh my goodness. Okay. And I mean, man, okay. So like you want $15 an hour to be rude to me. Like you want $15 an hour to not get the order right.
I mean, unless you work at Chick-fil-A, you know.
Yeah, well, they're worth it. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, that's going to be worth it. But do you understand what I'm saying? Like, my goodness. And you think about being in high school, and you think about some of the jobs you've had where you were so happy to get your little check. You know, even when you saw all of the taxes that they took out that you didn't like, you know, bank on. Literally, right. You didn't bank on them taking all the taxes out, but you were so happy to get your little check because there was a feeling of like independence, or you were doing something that you were earning your own money. And now you have people who are saying that, you know, those types of positions should be, sufficient for raising a family.
Man.
Those types of positions are sufficient for motivating you to get to a place where you can support a family.
Yeah. That's how it's supposed to work, you know, but of course over there in California, they're like, no, we're going to, they're going to implode. Like that does not work.
It's very sad.
That does
very
not work. And so, like you said, if they want it like that, man, they're going to have their way, because it's crazy to think that can't be sustained.
No,
right?
It
you cannot
can't
do that.
The North Carolina Home Educators Thrive Conference happens May 22nd through the 25th mm-hmm. in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We're going to be there and we hope to see you.
Yeah, that's a new one. I've never been to Winston-Salem. How you say it?
Not Winston.
Oh, it's not Winston?
It's Winston.
Winston.
Yes.
Okay,
He's
Winston.
He's mad that you didn't get his name right. Sorry, Winston.
Winston, I'm sorry, man. Winston-Salem. I've never been there, so it's going to be great. Going to be a good time, and we're looking forward to being there.
Yeah, you can learn more about the Thrive Conference by going to our website at cultureproof.net. Click on engage and you can find all of the events that we're going to be participating in this travel season. And they're hyperlinked. Yay. Who doesn't like a good hyperlink? Just click on those links. It'll take you right to those websites where you can get registered. And hopefully we'll get to see you there. We'll be podcasting on location.
Come
our family will be with us. We would love to shake your hand. And the employees who are losing their jobs are saying they understand what the heart was, you know, behind raising minimum wage to $20 an hour. But this, to me, this is scathing. The employees who are losing their jobs are saying, but you know what? I would rather have a job than one that pays $20 an hour, but then shuts down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And in addition to the businesses that are shutting down, you've got businesses that are severely reducing the hours that the employees are working because they can't afford to pay them. I mean, what do you have to charge for a meal? And I'm thinking like in the case of fast food, like what do you have to charge for a meal to convert that to $20 an hour? Like, think about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got to, you know, and so, and then who's going to pay that?
Right.
Like, who's your base? Like, who's buying food from you, right? It's not the person who's expecting steak.
Yeah.
You know?
So that money has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the consumer. Like, you know, you're going to pay more for
a Big Mac. If the consumer chooses to do it, right? And chances are the consumer is not going to do it.
Yeah.
And because the consumer is not going to do it, then that means that the restaurant shuts down. And if the restaurant shuts down,
that's it.
Then you've defeated the purpose.
Right.
Now people are, you
don't
know,
have a job.
So anyway, okay. So again, I am not picking on California in this news haul.
Still in
okay?
California?
But one more out of California. This is so bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this may show a little bit of my ignorance. I've already revealed my ignorance as it pertains to the law. But now here's my ignorance as it pertains to medicine. Okay. So I read this headline. And again, just, you know, these are the kinds of headlines that grab my attention. Okay. This is the headline. She died after liposuction by a pediatrician. Doctors warn of cosmetic surgeries. Wild West. The Wild West of cosmetic surgery. Okay.
Pediatrician?
Yeah. Okay. Right? Like, so do you, so when you hear that, do you start thinking, well, maybe I don't know what a pediatrician is? Like,
right.
You think,
I thought it was a children's doctor.
Like, right? Right? That's what, yeah, because that's right. What you're saying is
okay,
right.
Okay. All right. Just
so,
making sure.
Yeah. That dissonance that you're feeling right there is that, like, you know.
Doing plastic surgery?
Like, what?
No.
And I don't think they call it plastic surgery anymore. Like, get with the times.
What do they call it?
Cosmetic. Cosmetic surgery.
It's plastic. Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's what it's called. But, all right, here's the story. And then I'm so curious to know, like, what you're going to, now, and I want to, with great sobriety, because this woman died after this pediatrician performed the surgery, now, or this procedure, I should say, which is defined as a surgery. Yeah.
Right.
But I want to say the thing that was fascinating to me about this article is that, you know, there are some real difficulties involved in trying to make sure that doctors who may be certified in a particular discipline of medicine, that they don't perform surgeries under the guise of being certified or trained just because, you know, he or she is a doctor. So that is something that I wasn't prepared to read. I just would have imagined that you would already have those sort of, like, you know, protective mechanisms in place.
Yeah, you seem like you should. Like,
no.
What?
Not in California. All right, so here we go. Here we go. In California, doctors trained as pediatricians, OBGYNs, and other specialties can take on lucrative and potentially risky cosmetic surgeries. Some have branched out with little or no surgical training.
Man, what are they doing over there? Like, I mean... Okay.
I don't know. Inside a clinic wedged next to a smoke shop in a South Los Angeles strip mall, Dr. Mohammed Yagi operated on a 28-year-old woman who had traveled from Las Vegas to have fat trimmed from her arms and stomach. Yagi had been offering liposuction for roughly 7 years when he started making incisions that day in October of 2020. But he was trained as a pediatrician, according to a formal accusation later filed by state regulators. When the woman stopped breathing less than an hour into surgery at La Clinica de Los Angeles, paramedics were summoned, according to the accusation. The mother of four died days later at Good Samaritan Hospital, unable to recover from the loss of oxygen to her brain. Now, here's where this article goes into more detail. And I thought, what are we doing, America? Like, America, what are we doing, right? Because this is driven by greed. I hate to, I mean, this is driven by greed. There is an opportunity that these doctors see that they can, hey, you can make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about insurance because
even if you don't have the experience.
99.9% of the patients are self-pay.
Wow.
Well, see, and this is what some of the doctors in this article argue. They have some training that allows them to do some basic cosmetic surgery, you know. And I don't know if that's like maybe, you know, stitching up a wound. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would fall into that category, but certainly they're not certified to do the kinds of things
right.
that this doctor did. So, right. although rules differ from state to state, mm-hmm. licensed physicians in the U.S. generally aren't required to stick to practicing in the fields they studied during their medical education. In California, quote, you could be trained in pediatrics, and then if you have the boldness, you could be doing surgery, said Dr. Michael S. Wong, wow. former president of the California Society of Plastic Surgeons. Okay, here we go.
I told you.
You did. You certainly did. So I guess if that's not offensive, then we can just call it what it is. I thought they were moving away from that
they
because it
are,
sounded
but, you
like,
know.
You know, offensive.
Yeah.
Anyway, the state investigation into the woman's death faulted him for alleged violations such as proceeding with surgery, talking about the doctor who performed this liposuction, this cutting away of the fat, proceeding with surgery that involves sedation, when he knew or should have known that the patient had recently consumed food or water. Like just those basic things. Like I know not to eat before surgery and I'm not even going to do it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I mean, I would be operated on anyway. This article I think is a little bit on the frightening side because what you have is you have an attempt to regulate who can cut on people, you know, I guess in the way of plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery. Mm-hmm. And then the doctors who are saying, well, we have some training that would allow us to do some type of cosmetic surgery. They are saying, you guys want to put greater burdens on us to cut us out of the pie bit. Mm. They're saying you don't want us to, this is not in the article, but basically what I read,
right,
you don't
right.
want us to make that cheddar.
Right.
That's not an article.
Man, that's the thing. This story does not make me feel very comfortable about the
right.
medical field.
Right.
Like, you know, look, I know there are great doctors out there.
Well, and I feel like more and more you have to know the ones you
exactly.
know. And I'm comforted by the ones we know.
Yeah, exactly. And so the thing is, you know, I feel like these doctors have to take an oath not to do any harm.
Right.
If you know, okay, you might say, well, I can do some, you know, things like this. But if you know you're not that one, like you're not a plastic
wouldn't
surgeon.
Wouldn't you just say no?
Like,
I can't
no,
do
I don't.
That.
Yeah. But greed, like, no, I can do it. I can do it. And you really can't, you know, you can't, you know, like, man, that's doing harm. Like if you, so this is very sad. And then, you know, 28 years old.
Yes.
Four kids.
Four children. Very, very sad. The cosmetic surgery industry is an $18 billion industry.
Wow.
$18 billion
that
industry.
That says a lot.
It really does. Let me say this. I wanted to read this information because I thought, whoa, like, whoa, really? So a nationwide study of doctors marketing themselves as cosmetic surgeons found that 12% were practicing outside of their scope of expertise. 12% were practicing outside of their scope of expertise. One plastic surgeon, Dr. Melinda Hawes, she's the president of the Aesthetic Society. Is that right? Yeah, Aesthetic Society. I feel like that's a really nice way to say plastic surgery. But anyway, she said, as a plastic surgeon, I shouldn't be delivering babies, right? I'm not trained in that. Now, that makes sense.
Right.
You would say, no,
like,
I'm going to get me, you know, an OBGYN. I'm going to get, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. I think that's what they all should say. If there's something that a patient want them to do, and they shouldn't be quick to say, oh, yeah, I can do it. I can do that. Based upon, like, being able to get some money.
Yeah.
You know, like, man, what about not doing harm?
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's, man, negligent.
Yeah. One last piece, because I feel like, and I may be wrong about this. And so you tell me what you hear after I read this to you, but I feel like it's, there's a possibility that some of the doctors who were performing these surgeries, who were not certified, you know, may be benefiting from just people's ignorance. Like, you know, you say, I'm going to get you some Fritos. And then if the person comes out and they look like Fritos, you don't know if it's like great value. You know what I mean? Like, it just, okay. So, right. So now here, when I read this, I thought, So in California, physicians have sparred over who can legally advertise themselves as board certified. Okay. California permits that for doctors certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, which requires U.S. trained physicians to complete 6 to 8 years of surgical training, including at least 3 years of plastic surgery residency, but not the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery, which mandates at least 1 year of fellowship training in cosmetic surgery after completing a residency in one of several approved fields. So you've got two different boards.
Very different.
That when you hear board certified, and then I don't know.
Like, one seemed like it's like
legit.
Legit. The other one is like, we're going to give you this pass. We're going to give you this certificate.
Great value.
Yeah. You know, this online diploma.
It's like great. I got a great value for you.
Man.
We got a great value. Okay. Wow. Listen, here's what I'm going to do for you.
So you got to know which one you're dealing with.
Right.
And hopefully none of them.
Right. I could say that I'm a trained surgeon because I dissected a frog and stitched it up again. Oh. That is some training, right? I'm exaggerating here, but here's the last thing I want to say about this. There's also something else I think that is hidden in this story. You know, in order for there to be the enticement, you know, the greed is there, and for this to be an $18 billion industry, we have a lot of vanity in our society.
No, definitely. That's why I say it says a lot about us, you know? Yeah. Like getting these things done to try to make ourselves, you know, fit a narrative, look a certain way, you know, meet a standard that we have in our minds. And so there's a lot of people spending a lot of money to have this stuff done, you know. And it seems to me like I've been hearing, I don't know, you could tell me if you've been hearing the same thing, but it seems like there's been quite a few people that died because of, like, more, well, like more. Or maybe it's just the access to knowing these things.
But no, I think there's been an increase. Now, what you're talking about, and I've watched or read some of these stories, I should say, and just been a little bit confused. There's a particular type of augmentation that gained in popularity. And without going into too much detail, I would say that the articles say that is because of some celebrities who have, you know, normalized a certain type of appearance. Right. And so you've got everyday house moms who are like, I want that look. Mm-hmm. And so they're traveling and getting these surgeries, but, you know, they don't know who these doctors are who are performing these surgeries, and they're dying. I think what's really grabbed people's attention is that you have some, like, well-known celebrities who have died because of having this particular surgery.
Yeah.
It's vanity, you know? I mean, and look, and somebody might argue with me and say, well, what about braces? That is a cosmetic thing, unless, of course, it's not, right? Yeah. You need it. But I, you know.
No, but I don't know.
You're
my
not
mind is
like
different.
Being sedated.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think in my mind, that's different. And you might say, like, why? Well, I don't know. It's just in my mind. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, braces and, you know, and having something else done, like to change the appearance of you know, of how you look. Because a lot of times they look like a totally different person.
Man, yeah.
And it's like, you can tell that they've had this surgery.
Yeah.
And man, and to me, a lot of times it don't look good.
It's not better.
It's not better.
Like, it's like, man, what God gave you.
Yeah, you were good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know.
I wonder if, you know, we got to wrap up this episode, but I wonder if anybody's done any research on sort of like the correlation between, you know, social media and, you know, all kinds of nonstop access to people and the rise of cosmetic surgery. Like, because it used to be like when you would talk about plastic surgery, in my mind, that was like, you know, Michael Jackson, you know, people in the Hollywood Hills, like you didn't. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, you know, man, teenage girls.
And I feel like getting things more, done to their face. I guess I would say frowned upon. Like it wasn't like
private
this.
Too. People didn't talk about it.
It was like plastic surgery. It was almost like a joke. Like, you know,
yeah.
But now it seemed like, you know, everyday people are having it done
and talking about the fact that they had it done, you know, which again, all of that just plays into, I don't know, a normalized vanity and just way too much access to people's personal lives, you know, so. Yeah. Anyway, when you resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, you remain culture-proof. Until next time, Lord willing.
God bless.
I feel like he started doing coverage during Ode's Ode Dimpson. I'm sorry.